Greetings and welcome to Clear Your Beliefs. I'm Lyon Goodman. I'm the creator of the Belief Closet process, and I am very excited to be sharing this powerful technology with you. The Belief Closet process can change your life by clearing your beliefs from the core of your psyche. I'm really pleased that you've taken this important step in your own evolution. No matter who you are or what you want to accomplish, your old negative and limiting beliefs are preventing you from moving forward toward your goals. They're interfering with your ability to manifest the life you want to be living. This process will help you clear the way forward. If you haven't yet done so, download the Clear Your Beliefs guidebook. You'll find all the details and instructions you need for your course. If you're working with a Clear Your Beliefs coach, he or she will act as your guide. You and your coach will set your pace and determine when you'll listen to each recording, and how often you'll be meeting together for support by phone, Skype, or in person. Your guidebook contains all the handouts, transcripts, homework assignments, and everything else you need for this transformative journey. If you're working on your own, we recommend listening to one program per week, and in between programs, take some time to do the homework. This program is an exciting expedition into the inner landscape of your subconscious mind. Now, like any expedition, you need to be well prepared. That means having your tools and equipment packed and ready, including your maps of the territory that you'll be traversing. We've provided them for you within these recordings and the materials. The best attitude for any expedition includes excitement and an open-minded willingness to explore, and the commitment to do the work required. Your guide or this program will be there with you each step of the way. Here's our first tip for your successful journey. The results you get will be in direct proportion to your ability to focus your attention on this program and do the work. We want you to get the best results possible, so please set aside all the other things you could be doing while listening to the program. If you really want to shift your reality, give it your full attention. Do the assignments fully and completely. You deserve to get great results, so put your best efforts into it and experience real healing and transformation, the kind you've been looking for your whole life. If you purchase this program by itself without coaching, you'll be guiding yourself through the process. If at any point along the way you decide that you could use some support or help to get through some of the difficult terrain or narrow passageways, you can purchase coaching hours at any time. Go to clearyourbeliefs.com/coaching for more information. I'm going to be taking you through a 7-week journey into your subconscious mind. The subconscious is where your beliefs are stored. It's where they operate from, outside your conscious awareness. Just to bring it into reality, have you ever suddenly reacted badly and then later wondered, what the hell just happened? What did I do? Well, that's quite a common experience. By the end of this course, you're going to have a tool for finding out what happened and eliminating the cause, which is a belief at the core of that particular pattern. The Belief Closet process is a result of over 30 years of research into psychology, spirituality, neurology, and brain sciences, as well as other hard sciences. I've explored dozens of techniques for consciousness change and self-improvement. I'm kind of a proof of the pudding guy. I'm also very practical. I don't like a lot of hand-waving or woo-woo stuff or unfounded ideas with no grounding. Also, I didn't want to become a disciple of someone or something or some organization that required I take on a bunch of their beliefs in order to join their club. I've been exploring techniques from the periphery and also in depth to really understand, how does the brain work? How does the mind work? How does spirit work? And how do we even have this human experience? What the heck is it anyway? Well, this has been my lifelong quest. I'm very happy to share what I've learned with you and to share this particular process, the Belief Closet process, which enables you to reprogram that biocomputer of yours very quickly and efficiently. This process came to me really from spirit, after studying many other methodologies, I asked for a new way to change beliefs that was quick and permanent and simple and fun. And this process just kind of got downloaded into my consciousness. Now, as soon as that happened, I realized that the process itself made sense, but I hadn't tested it yet. So I began using it in my coaching practice. I was amazed at how well it worked and how much power it had. I began seeing very fast change in people, minor miracles you could call them, and a few major ones as well as people change their beliefs at the core of their psyche. That was more than 10 years ago. And from that time until this, thousands of people have gone through this process and had results that range from mild to amazing. There have been shifts of all kinds in every area of life. In the financial area, people have broken through their money barriers. In relationships, they have found love and they have finished relationships that didn't work for them anymore. In the area of community, people have been broken through from being held back to being really involved in their communities. In psychology, people have cleared old traumatic patterns and found their way back into a normal social life. So I've taught this process to coaches and therapists all around the world. We've got graduates of the program in Holland, Germany, Australia, New Zealand, Finland, Canada, Japan, France, Switzerland, and even Turkey. It's really become an international phenomenon. So if you're a coach or a therapist or a healer, you may want to learn how to use this process in your own practice. I'll be telling you more about that later if you decide you do want to learn the process. And even if you're not a coach or therapist and you just want to learn it to help your friends and family, that's great too. This is really deep therapeutic work. We're not just going to go in and tweak a few beliefs and make life a little better. We're interested in going to the very depth of you, the deepest, most vulnerable aspects that are really causing a problem in your life. Whether you go to therapy or clear your beliefs, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that you dive in to the truth, to the cause of what's happening in your life. Now, we're not going to just indoctrinate you with more beliefs either. We're going to encourage you to create your own beliefs, to find out what you want to believe, rather than just taking my word for it or getting more new beliefs implanted in you from someone else. After 30 years of doing my own research and developing myself through many, many different methods, what I found out is that when something really important happened, when there was profound change, I had changed one of my beliefs. It even happened when I was doing psychotherapy. If I shifted a belief, that's what actually made the therapy work. You know, when I discovered that it wasn't all my mother's fault, that was an amazing shift in my life. And what shifted was a belief. It was my mother's fault to it's not my mother's fault. It was a major change for me. Now, if the therapist could help me find out what I believed about something, and I could recognize the belief wasn't true, and I could change my belief or my viewpoint about it, that's when the real healing occurred. So that's what the belief closet process does. It skips over the story part of our past and goes right to the causal level, to the beliefs themselves. Think about the placebo effect. Now, most people know that that's when you give a person a sugar pill instead of a drug, and then you see what percentage of the effect the placebo is. Now, the general rule is that it's usually 30% or more of the drug's effectiveness. When a person believes that the drug will work, it has more efficacy. It works better. But scientists say, well, that's just the belief that it will work. And my response is, well, duh. There are a lot of drugs that are less than 30% effective. Why aren't they studying beliefs as a way of changing the body? Well, the reason is it's because you can't patent it and put it in a bottle. But beliefs are that powerful. Even among drugs, they have a 30% or more impact on whether the drug will work or how well it'll work. So we're talking about something that has a very profound effect, even on the body. Now, if I could hand you a tool that really worked to change beliefs, you could potentially clear anything that was in your way. Our proposition here is that your beliefs create your reality. If that's true, then you should be able to change reality by changing your beliefs. Now, I don't want you to believe it. What I want you to do is to test it to find out whether this is true or not for you in your experience. If it is true, it should mean that you could change your feelings at any moment. Or you could change the way that you relate to other people. Or you could change those inner voices that have been with you for a long time that criticize you or even annihilate you. You could change physical sensations or pains or your circumstances. Or you should be able to change what is showing up for you in the world. If this proposition is true, you should be able to change anything by changing your beliefs about it. So that's what we're going to experiment with. The belief closet process is like one of those Swiss Army knives, a multi-tool that has a saw and a blade and three screwdrivers and an adjustable wrench and something you have no idea what it's for and will never use. It comes in handy no matter what needs to be fixed. And that's what the belief closet process is. It's a multi-tool that you can use to change anything you're experiencing, anything you don't like. Now, you don't need to change the experiences that you do like, because whatever beliefs are creating them, you want to keep those. We're only interested in changing the ones that are interfering with our lives. Do you remember how good it feels when you've cleaned out a closet at home, or a drawer, or the garage? You pull everything out and you sort through it and you find stuff in there that's been there for years taking up space and you look at it and you wonder, what the hell have I been holding on to this for? You may even ask, I don't even know what this is for. I have no idea. I don't know where it came from. I don't know what it's attached to. It's just taking up space. And it feels really good when you throw it away or you take a bunch of crap you don't need and you take it to the dumpster or give it to Goodwill or a consignment shop. You make space for something new. Everybody I know has one of those everything closets or drawers, a place that accumulates all that old stuff that you don't use anymore. Now, maybe someday it'll come in handy if you could just remember where it was when you needed it. Of course, when I need it, I usually go to the hardware store and buy a new one because I can't remember where I put it. But if you did clear all that stuff out, you'd have a great sense of freedom. Beliefs are like that too. Beliefs are like letting go of stuff you don't need anymore. Now, the thing about clothes in the closet is that they just sit idly on the sidelines and take up space, but beliefs are a little bit different. Beliefs are active all of the time in the subconscious mind. They're like an annoying little itch that won't go away. And every belief creates a feeling or a thought, and they can get stimulated and activated, in which case they kind of jump up and take over from time to time. And we'll demonstrate this a little bit later. So you may get taken over from time to time and wonder what the hell just happened. Well, this is what happened. Some old belief, some old pattern got stimulated and it jumped up and grabbed you and it took over. You can use the belief closet process to clean out those things, the fears or doubts or inner voices or old traumas that come up and grab you by the neck. You can become more successful in your profession by using this process. You can change your self-esteem, how you feel about yourself. You can create better relationships. You can use it for anything to improve any part of your life. And when you clean out your closet at home, you have space for something new. And so what we're going to be doing here is we're going to be planting new beliefs in place of the old, in the space that gets created once you get rid of an old belief. Here's another analogy. If you were going to create a garden, what you'd do first is remove all the rocks and the weeds that were there on the land. And then you'd till the soil and amend the soil, and then you'd start planting what you want to grow. So if you wanted to grow vegetables, you'd plant vegetable seeds. If you wanted to grow flowers, you'd plant flower seeds. Now, if you don't do that, if you just try to put the seeds in the old weedy, rocky area, whatever you want to grow is just going to suffocate. And beliefs are like seeds that create or grow particular experiences. If you want to grow them well, you have to clean the old stuff out first. You've been accumulating this weedy garden of beliefs since you were tiny. Coming back to the closet analogy, it's as if you kept all of the clothes you ever wore from the time you were born, including your baby clothes and every one of those dirty diapers that you used once, and instead of throwing them away, they just stacked up in the closet. Your closet is stuffed with all of these clothes that don't fit anymore and that you don't need anymore. They're not you anymore, but they're still hanging out there. still taking up space. So it's time to take them out, take a look at them, and get rid of the ones that you don't need anymore. Now, most people have only 3 or 4, maybe 5 major blockages in their life. In my 20 years of guiding and coaching people, that's what I've noticed. I call them belief clusters. It's a group of beliefs that kind of got glued together, and then they reinforce each other. And here's an example. There's something wrong with me. Nobody likes me. I'm not lovable. I don't have any real friends. I'm alone. And the reason I'm alone is because there's something wrong with me. You can see that all these beliefs reinforce each other. So once you clean up and clear out those 3 or 4 or 5 clusters you've got in your life, you're pretty much cleaned out. There's nothing stopping you anymore. They're not bugging you anymore. Now, there will still be some minor cleanup to do, but the things that have been really holding you back in life will be gone. It does take some time to do this, and some diligence and some concentration, but it can be done. I'll give you an example. I trained a friend of mine how to use the belief closet process. And 2 months later, he called me back and he said, "Well, I've cleared 200 beliefs in these 2 months." And I said, "Wow, that is impressive. How do you feel?" He said, "I don't recognize myself. All those things that were keeping me from doing what I needed to do are gone. I'm just taking actions toward my goals, and there's no more resistance." Now, that was a few years ago. This was a guy who was living pretty close to the poverty line, and he's now involved in multi-million-dollar deals and doing great in all aspects of his life. So that's what's possible with this process. Now, the process works whether you understand how beliefs work or not, but I think it's really helpful to understand the core of what you're studying, how beliefs work and function in consciousness. So I'm going to dive into that subject as preparation for the work we're going to do. I'm going to take you into the belief closet later, and you're going to actually experience removing a belief and getting a direct experience of it being gone, and then planting a new belief in its place. Beliefs are made of the same stuff as experiences. And experiences are both multisensory and multidimensional. Now, think about how you might describe what you're experiencing right now. You've got some thoughts going on. You're listening to my voice. Maybe some feelings are coming up or memories. You've got body sensations. You notice how comfortable or uncomfortable you are. Now, if I asked you to pay attention to what your big right toe is feeling, you could do that. You could just pay attention. "Oh, there's my big right toe. What's it feeling? Oh, there it is." So go ahead and do that right now. Just feel what your big right toe is feeling. Now, that information has been coming in all along, all through this talk, but you weren't attending to it. You were attending to what I was saying or the thoughts in your head, but all this information is coming in. So experience is really complex. It includes all the senses that you have and your intuition about the future and past stories and your interpretations. So beliefs are made of this experience stuff. Now, we put them into forms of words like "there's something wrong with me," but they're really experiences. Now, this process takes that idea and turns the removal of beliefs into the removal of whole experiences, not just words. There's a lot of other techniques out there that work with the words and clear the words, but they don't get to the subconscious experiential level. Now, the standard definition of belief is something you take to be true. And that's a good intellectual definition, but beliefs, the way I'm talking about beliefs, that goes much deeper. Beliefs are actually like little reality-creating nanomachines. They produce a specific emotion or feeling or sensation. They guide your decisions. They guide your choices from somewhere back in the subconscious mind. And from time to time, they jump up and assert themselves, and they create limitations as well. So I came up with my own definition of beliefs, which is this. Beliefs are the alphabet with which we construct the language of our experience. I'll say it again because I like it so much. Beliefs are the alphabet with which we construct the language of our experience. So way down deep underneath our experiences is this language, the beliefs, and our words can only describe a tiny fraction of them. But that's okay. We're going to go after the experiences themselves through the words and through the feelings. Beliefs are stored in the subconscious mind. They're literally sub or below your subconscious mind. So to talk about beliefs, we have to have a certain model of consciousness. We could say that beliefs are the tools that are being used to experience something. We accumulate them as tools of survival. We accumulate them to understand how the world works so we can survive and thrive. This begins while we're still in the womb. Now, as we're developing in the womb, we're these little beings, and when we're born, we're unable to care for ourselves, so we have a very high capacity for learning. It's built into the brain. We're born in this very open and vulnerable state, and so our brain and mind work very hard to ensure our survival. It takes on anything it can, any conclusions that it can, that will help us survive. So a baby is basically on record mode for the first 4 or 5 years of its life, and everything that happens goes into the mind as a belief or a conclusion. Now, one of the first beliefs is when we're born, we go from this nice warm environment to suddenly being pushed around and wiped off and sucked out and slapped sometimes. And the first belief you have at birth is there's something wrong here, because you went from being in this nice, perfect, warm environment to being manhandled, and it doesn't feel good. So babies cry when they're uncomfortable. They're communicating there's something wrong here. And when parents respond, you figure out what will happen. Well, if I yell and cry, I'll get my needs cared for. Now, the baby doesn't have language. They're preverbal, but they're experientially taking on this belief and this understanding of how do I operate in the world? How do I get my needs met? Some of our earliest beliefs that we took on, the most powerful ones usually, got created when we had a traumatic event occur in our lives. It involved loss or pain or shame or some other overwhelming emotion or experience. That's the point where we start getting indoctrinated, or we indoctrinate ourselves with our own beliefs. Now, if you believe the people who are better than you or older than you, you will have a better chance of surviving. If someone older than you says, "Don't eat that mushroom, it will kill you," you're more likely to survive by not eating the mushroom. So that's how beliefs are born. You take on the beliefs of others, and since it helped them survive, it's likely to help you survive. This is a really good system for accumulating cultural and worldly knowledge for survival. So as a system, it works really well. It allows us to take on the knowledge of others and survive better. But there are a few problems with this good system. The first is that we don't have a built-in mechanism for discerning true beliefs from false beliefs, or good for us beliefs from bad for us beliefs. There's no discernment built into the system. We have to learn and grow it. The second problem is that beliefs don't disappear when they're no longer needed. They accumulate in the subconscious mind. Now, I always thought that beliefs ought to have an expiration date, you know, like food. It's like, this is good for the next 5 years, but then it's gone. It needs to be tossed out. But the problem is it doesn't. It just sticks around in the subconscious and keeps impacting you. So that brings up the third problem, which is that anyone can indoctrinate us with their beliefs. And because you were on record mode for the first 4 or 5 years, the people who loved you, like your parents, think it's really important to indoctrinate you the same way they were indoctrinated. Now, of course, you want to belong to the family, so you welcome the indoctrination. Now, as you grow and learn and mature, your needs will change. You don't need that protection that you once did. But these beliefs keep on producing the experience all of the time, all the way into your adult life. Now, you probably know an adult or two who believes, if I cry and make a fuss, I'll get my needs met. Well, that was a really good belief when they were an infant. But as an adult, it's kind of unseemly. These indoctrinated beliefs can keep hanging around with us, and they interfere with our life. It's kind of like having a computer connect to the internet with no virus protection, no firewall. It's very easy to get bugs in the operating system. So I'm going to use another analogy. I love analogies. So beliefs act like colored lenses in front of our eyes. We experience the world through them. We don't know that they're actually adjusting our view until you take them off. So if you put on sunglasses or if you're trying on different kinds of sunglasses, you see that the world looks different with each different colored lens. Now, if you could take off all of your beliefs, you would see the world just as it is. There's a great quote from William Blake. He said, "If the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to man as it is, infinite." And that's what happens when you clear all your beliefs. You look around and see that everything and everyone is infinite. On another topic, beliefs produce specific feelings. And what we're going to be doing is using this ability to feel a belief in the process. Now, here's an example that you can try right away and get a direct experience. Take a moment, close your eyes, and take a breath. And now, feel what it feels like to hold the belief, "There's something wrong with me." Just say it to yourself as if it's 100% true, and feel what feeling this belief produces in your experience. What are the body sensations associated with this belief, "There's something wrong with me"? And notice what the limitations are that it produces when you believe that. And notice whether this is a fairly common feeling for you. Is this an experience that you have often in your life? Most people do. It's like a little annoying thing in the background. And this is the most common belief I've found. That's why I use it as an example so often, is because most people have that belief somewhere in their subconscious mind. So every belief produces a feeling. I'll give you an opposite example. So take that belief, "There's something wrong with me," and throw it away, put it in the trash can. And now feel what it feels like to hold the belief, "I am a sacred and worthy being." And just feel what it feels like to hold that belief. Notice the body sensations. Notice what's possible in your life. Most people report that it opens them up. They feel good. They feel secure. They feel real or true. So this shows you that any belief produces a particular feeling, and this is going to be very useful in the belief closet process. Now, I call this process the belief closet because clothing is an excellent metaphor for beliefs. Your subconscious mind understands from experience that every different kind of clothing you own makes you feel differently. Formal evening wear feels different than workout clothes or business clothes or pajamas. So let's come back to the earlier belief, "There's something wrong with me." And imagine that this belief feeling is on your body like a set of clothing. So feel it again, "There's something wrong with me." Now, not all clothes are comfortable. You go into a shop and you try on different clothes, and sometimes you say, "Oh, this is really not me." So you take it off. So again, take this one off just as you would an outfit or clothing that you decide doesn't fit. It's not really you. You always have a choice as to what to wear or what to believe. So just take this belief off and throw it away. Put it in a giveaway bag for Goodwill or put it in a fire. And now feel what it feels like to have that belief off of you. Good. So now we'll come back to the other belief. Close your eyes again and feel what it feels like to hold this belief, "I am a sacred and worthy being." Just say it to yourself as if it's 100% true. "I am a sacred and worthy being." And again, feel the feeling that it produces. Notice whether it gives you a sense of greater freedom or greater possibilities. And that's as long as it takes, by the way. It only takes a moment to feel a belief. And you can choose to take this one off or you can leave it on. So you're always at choice in the belief closet process. Beliefs are invisible. They don't weigh anything. You're already living with hundreds or thousands or possibly tens of thousands of beliefs. And each one is producing a feeling in the background. That's those annoying little itches in the background and also the wonderful little feelings in the background. Life is a rich mixture of these feelings because we have so many beliefs and each one is producing its own feeling. I'm going to talk about one more thing and then we'll dive into the process. I'm going to talk about indoctrination. The word indoctrination comes from in and doctrine, meaning that a belief is put into someone else. And our first beliefs, the first couple of years, are not verbal. We don't yet have language, but they are feelings, they're experiences that you take to be true. When you were an infant, you had feelings based on what was happening to you. Sometimes you feel, I'm loved. Sometimes I've been abandoned. Sometimes I'm comfortable. Sometimes I'm uncomfortable. And then you begin to learn language, and your parents begin that lifelong programming that they want you to have in order to become the person that they would love and accept. So they assign a name to you, and you learn that when they say your name, it means you. And they tell you good and don't and that's right and that's wrong. They're trying to shape your behavior into acceptable form. Depending on your parents, that might have been a very pleasant experience of learning to become a human being, or it might have been a very unpleasant experience, especially if they were abusive or they weren't very good at their job. Now, then older siblings get in on the act. They start programming you with their beliefs. You're a baby, you're an idiot, you're in the way. Then your grandparents or your nannies or caregivers, they provide other programming. And beliefs start getting layered on top of you. Each one is like a tiny snowflake, but they start adding up to huge snowdrifts. If you went to church or synagogue or a mosque, another layer gets added. This is who God is. This is how to relate to God. This is how a good person lives. This is how you get the big reward in the sky. And then you go to school, and another layer of programming occurs. This is who the pilgrims were. This is how to do math. This is how to be in class. Don't speak unless you're called on, and all the rest. Now, those older beliefs keep getting pushed down into the subconscious mind, and they continue to operate there. As you grow, you learn that some beliefs aren't true. You learn that Santa Claus isn't real. You learn that scientific truths keep changing. Everything that happens to you adds other beliefs. Now, somehow we manage to operate in this maze of beliefs, layers and layers and layers of beliefs. It's amazing that we can make sense of the world at all, but somehow we do. And it also makes clear why a lot of the world doesn't make any sense. It's because we can't sort through all those beliefs and find out what's true. So let's get on with it. Let's get to the experience of being in the belief closet. Now, beliefs are creations, and like any creation, they can be discreated. In Western culture, we talk about two-thirds of what the Hindus called the Godhead. We talk about the ability to create and the ability to sustain, but we don't talk much about the ability to destroy. In the Hindu pantheon, there's the God of creation, the God of sustaining, and the God of destruction. And because we are gods in our own universe, we can destroy things consciously. Now, beliefs don't get destroyed by themselves. They don't have an expiration date, but you can destroy them. You can take them out, delete them, disappear them. And even though they were put there originally for a good reason, you can choose consciously to take them out. Now, I use the term discreate, which means to uncreate what you created. Even if it was an indoctrinated belief, at some level of consciousness, you took it on and you accepted it into yourself, and therefore you can unaccept it, you can take it out. We work with three levels of consciousness. One is the subconscious realm, which doesn't speak in language as much as it does in experiences and pictures and feelings. And then we work with a conscious mind, because you're always in charge of the process. If you don't like it, you can just change it or leave it at will. And the third is the superconscious, or the higher self, which recognizes who you really are. It doesn't matter what you call it. You can call it spirit or source, higher self, but what it means is that we're working all three levels at once. The belief closet process takes place in the imaginal realm. This is the realm where your night dreams are made, and where you can imagine the future or come up with new thoughts. Anything can happen in the imaginal realm. If you watch your dreams at night, You know that you can transform from an animal to a plant to a human to a different person from one place to another very quickly because the imaginal realm has no limitations. In the belief closet process, we're going to invite your subconscious out to play because the subconscious is very playful. Remember when you were a kid and someone knocked on your door and said, "Can you come out and play?" It was really a wonderful invitation. It's like, oh, I was waiting for that to happen. Someone likes me. So that's our invitation to the subconscious mind. And your subconscious is delighted to come out and play with us. Now, this isn't an altered state of consciousness or a hypnotic trance. It's called guided visualization. You'll be fully conscious and awake, and you'll be guided on a kind of imaginative journey. But you are in charge the whole time. If you don't like what's happening, just simply open your eyes and come back into normal consciousness. Like any practice, like playing a musical instrument or meditation practice or yoga or even medicine, it takes practice to get good at it. You'll need the 7 weeks built into this program. I hope you'll do the process a lot on your own because as you grow in your ability to use it, you'll get to the place where you can do it anytime and you can do it for the rest of your life. And you'll have this tool to use no matter what comes up for you. You'll be able to change your experience of what's happening and change what's happening in your life. Now, because this is a guided visualization, I want to speak to the non-visualizers out there. This is about 20% of the population that doesn't visualize well. When you're told, imagine yourself walking on the street in Paris or imagine a giraffe, you may get fuzzy images, or if you're a real non-visualizer, you may get nothing. The first thing to know is that there's nothing wrong with you. I've worked with a wide range of people who are non-visualizers, and everyone can do the process, but you need to make a few adjustments. Non-visualizers get information in different ways. Sometimes it's kinesthetic, like body location or body sensations, body feelings. Some people get auditory voices or sounds. Some people get full multidimensional 3D movie reels that can be very confusing. The instructions are, take whatever you get. However you perceive it, that's fine. Now, when I say look around and see what's there, if you're a non-visualizer, simply translate it into your own impression language. Imagine I'm saying, feel around, or feel what's there, or get an impression of what's there. However you take in information is perfectly fine. The process will work for you. Just be open to whatever you get, and however you get it. Now we're going to take 1 minute and I'm going to ask you to write down, if you haven't already, 5 or more beliefs that you think are at the core of your personality or your psyche. We're particularly interested in the negative ones. What do you believe about yourself deep down inside? Now later there will be more writing to be done. The more you explore your beliefs, the better. For now, just take a minute and write down 5 beliefs that are negative, like, I'm not smart, or I have no talent, or I'm a slob, I'm unattractive, I'm poor, I can't get out of this hole. Anything negative, just write them down. I'll give you a minute to do that. Now, as you're writing, I'm going to talk to you about core beliefs. Core beliefs were taken on when you were very small, when you were a tiny child. And they're usually phrased in a way that a child would say them. That's what we're going for. Now, an adult might say, I have certain negative qualities that I don't accept about myself. And that's certainly true and a very sophisticated belief. But a child would simply say, I'm bad. So when you look at your beliefs, write down your beliefs in that child way, and you'll be closer to the core. And the closer you can get to your core beliefs, the more powerful this experience will be. So continue to write down until you have at least 5 negative beliefs about yourself. Okay, you can set your pen down or take your fingers off the keyboard.